There are thousands of vacant residential buildings in St. Louis. They are an eyesore, drive down neighborhood home prices and property tax revenues. They're also dangerous. There is a proposition on the ballot in next week's election, Proposition NS, calling for a 1 cent property tax increase designed to rehab and stabilize vacant city-owned properties. Joining me in studio to discuss it are Stacy Ross. She is a board member of SLACO, that's the St. Louis Association of Community Organizations, a board member of that organization, a member of its vacancy committee, and she's also chair of the Prop NS campaign committee. Do I have that right, Stacy?
That's right.
Okay. Also with us is Alvin Willis. He's a board member of SLACO also, and he is a resident of Lewis Place, and he helped position the petition, that is, the proposition to get it to the ballot. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
I'll start with you, Stacy. Can you give us, just to set this whole thing up, give us some sense of the scope of the vacant housing problem in the city of St. Louis, and also define stabilize for me in this context?
Sure. So there are a total of about 6,800 vacant buildings in the city of St. Louis. And of those, we as taxpayers, as city taxpayers, own about 2,700 of them, owned by the LRA. So that's the
Land Reutilization Authority, right?
That's the scope of the problem. Now, I do want to correct one thing that you said, and it's very important. We will not be rehabbing these buildings. We are actually putting them in pre-rehab condition. And so the stabilization means that they will this fund would stabilize them, secure them, and prevent them from further deterioration. And what stabilize means is make them watertight, and that's what's going to be the most important thing in preventing them from further deterioration. But the watertight would involve things like repair, replacing a roof, tuck pointing, complete board up. Right now, the city just normally does the first floor board up, but whatever is needed to secure the envelope of the building so that it's not deteriorating further. And what that also does in securing that building is it keeps kids out of that building. It keeps vagrants who might set fires, drug dealers, any of those kind of folks out of these buildings and perhaps out of the neighborhood then.
So stabilization simply means that you're going to get it into a position that someone can come in and rehab it.
That's correct.
Just the very, very basics to make
That's
it.
That's correct.
Alvin, let me turn to you with regard to what you have been experiencing in your neighborhood. I gather because you were a petitioner that you had a problem at Lewis Place.
Yes, we have a problem like all other neighborhoods in the city of St. Louis with vacancy, and especially with the LRA-owned properties where they are not being maintained because LRA does not have a lot of money to do that. And what we are many of my neighbors are concerned about is when the property first goes to LRA from that taxes being paid or whatever reason, sometimes the property is historic and it is in very good condition. But over the years, it just continues to deteriorate. And eventually, a wonderful historic building is torn down. And it cost LRA between $8,000 and $12,000 simply to tear a building down.
Tear it down, and then the property, the grounds,
then it becomes a vacant lot, and it is still not back on the tax register.
Stacy,
and we like to see that stop to some extent, not completely.
Stacy, how do these places become? Are these places that owners have just walked away from?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons, and that actually points to one important point, and that is Prop NS is just one small approach to dealing with a much wider vacancy problem. And so we're not saying that we're going to solve the whole problem. But there are things like Alvin alluded to, tax sales, if property owners don't pay the taxes for a period of time. There are also situations where an elderly family member passes away. They don't have any kind of a will, and the family isn't interested in owning it. The other thing that is a little surprising to me, wasn't aware of this, was a family member can pass away, the daughter or son moves into the property. Perhaps that's what the family member intended, but there was no probate, nothing. And so that person does not have deed to the house. And then they can't sell it down the road because they never have had proper deed to it. And so sometimes that's what causes them to go into vacancy. There's issues with code enforcement and a lot of different reasons. There's many different reasons.
Alvin, how does then the Land Reutilization Authority acquire the house? They just take it?
What Stacey was talking about, many times, there are various ways that they acquire homes. Starting probably, I think, in April, the city will have tax land tax sales, and that will be for people who are 3, 4, 5 years behind in their taxes. If it is not sold at one of those tax sales, then it goes to LRA. I've been to several of the sales, and it's many of the properties, nobody bid on them. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up going to LRA. Also, some of the properties are donated to LRA. So there are various ways that they acquire the properties. But mainly, they acquire them through the land tax sales, where nobody bids on it, nobody buys it, and then it automatically goes to LRA.
And what does it cost LRA to maintain these places or to these individual properties?
Well, I think right now the only thing LRA does, I think they work with the forestry department, and mm-hmm. I think there's like $1 million to cut the grass and maintain them, those kinds of things. But they have over 2,600 pieces of property, and that is not enough money to maintain it the way you would love to maintain your home.
How much, Stacy, has it been calculated, how much in property taxes is lost when these places are off the rolls?
It's estimated that we as city residents lose about $7 million a year in property tax revenue. And what that consists of is both the fact that these LRA properties are not on the tax rolls, but it also means that property values have declined to the extent that those properties generate less property tax revenue than they otherwise might. And that's a big problem for nearby property owners, is the closer they are to vacant properties, the more their property value declines.
The choosing these homes is part of the process of what you want to do. I understand the neighborhood itself will determine which houses will become a part of this, assuming this passes.
Well, let me clarify that a little bit. So that is not included in the ordinance. We were not able to include that specificity in the ordinance. And so what we are proposing would be a commission of individuals who would help determine the characteristics that would be considered for homes that are being considered for this stabilization. So what we hope that commission would be made up of, and we will advocate for strongly, is a very robust neighborhood participation on there, and then experts, people who can talk about whether this property is a good opportunity to improve. It's not too far gone. If this property can be marketed successfully. Mm-hmm. And
if it can be saved.
Right. Yeah. If it can be saved, yeah. And if it's something that, once it's stabilized, is in a place and, you know, all these different characteristics, that it most likely could be sold. And the neighborhood element of this is really important, because what we hope to do is have neighborhoods applying to determine which property should be stabilized. And we hope to be able to do some planning with these neighborhoods on how to determine what the best way for their neighborhoods to deal with this problem, and in general plan for what they want their neighborhood to be. And that's one place where the SLACO Vacancy Committee comes in. We have a variety of different subcommittees that's dealing with vacancies on these different fronts. And one of the subcommittees that we have is the Best Practices Committee. And that's made up, there's a number of different academics on that, neighborhood folks, and they are creating a document that is designed to help neighborhoods walk through the different steps and the different considerations that they should keep in mind when they're trying to determine what they want their neighborhood to be. So that would be one tool that could be used in helping to determine which of these buildings would be stabilized.
Alan, what's your take on that process?
I think what Stacey is saying is certainly a part of it, but I think also once the Proposition NS is passed, then it will go to the Board of E&A, and then it will have to go to the Board of Aldermen. The Board of Aldermen will have to approve the sale of the bonds, and at that time the Board will be able to include in the ordinance that authorizes a sale a process that LRA will have to follow to sell those buildings. So the Board of Aldermen will not be left out of this thing. And I think one of the most important things would be that my neighborhood organization would be able to participate in nominating those buildings, because the people who live in the neighborhoods, they see them every day, and they really know which ones should be saved.
Sounds like a fairly cumbersome process to me.
It is, and I think anything that you try to do today and make it successful is not easy. But I think people have to recognize that this is not the total solution. LRA will still have hundreds of buildings that they can sell as they're doing now. But this will address perhaps as many as 200 buildings a year.
Yeah. And so let me just clarify one thing is, it may be considered a cumbersome process, but I think part of that, they talk about, governing being a messy process. Well, we hope this isn't messy, but it's, different safeguards, different involving different stakeholder groups. And so it's not a simple streamlined process on purpose. In some ways, because we do want to bring different stakeholders in. We do need these different stakeholders and these different elected officials to be able to weigh into it. So that's what I would say as far as why the process may seem a little more involved.
A few minutes ago, you used the word specificity, and it was a word that was also used by the Republican candidate for mayor who was on the earlier segment of this program. He said there's not enough specificity in the proposal on the ballot to win him over at this point.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk to him about the ordinance before he drew a conclusion about it. But the ordinance is actually very specific. That is one thing that we were very careful to do. And so the ordinance reads that the stabilization funded by bond proceeds be limited to assuring water tightness, including work related to roof, gutters, tuck pointing, etc., structural stabilization improvements, boarding up of the building, and interior demolition necessary to prepare such buildings for further private redevelopment. So it is very specific about saying it's limited to, it's not including, it's limited to. And so in my mind, that's pretty specific.
Well, it doesn't say that the increase in the property tax of 1 cent would be increased over time to 7 cents, does it?
Well, actually, what we did is the way this is calculated is on a level debt service. And so what that means is instead of saying, so it would be $1.90 a year on a $100,000 home. And so instead of saying $1.90 and then the next year it's two times that and the next time it's three times that, we were advised, and apparently this is the way other bond issues are done, is you do what's called a level debt service. And so you figure out what that would cost over the long haul. And so you have this, it would be, the estimate is $11 a year on a $100,000 home. And so that's taking into account, each year that the bonds are sold.
Alvin, once a building is stabilized, what then? I mean, you want to get it back on the tax rolls and you want somebody to buy it and live in it and take care of it. How does all that happen?
Well, I think once it's stabilized, the building then becomes easier for LRA to sell. Right now, they're selling buildings for $1,000 to $3,000, but those buildings are in poor condition. Many of them are. And they still require being stabilized. If you pay $1,000 for the building, many of them still require roof or they still require tuck pointing. So I think also it will make it easier for you to get financing to rehab the building.
Is the figure that I have here, $30,000, is that what it would cost to stabilize a building typically?
That's the maximum. Uh-huh. So that's the maximum that could be spent on any individual single-family residential property. It's the maximum is $50,000 on a multifamily, up to six units. And so there's no way to say, $30,000. Some houses may need more than $30,000, but they're only going to get $30,000. So it's up to. If a home just needs a new roof, that's not going to cost $30,000.
And then these places would be sold at public auction,
yes,
correct?
It will be. You will be able to bid on it, and they will be sold one by one, one property at a time. So it is not a case where you would go in and bid on six, seven pieces of property.
So the sale price, the revenue generated by sale, would go where? To the general fund in the city or to the LRA or?
To the LRA.
Right, to LRA.
It cannot go to the city. It has to go to the LRA, and that's by state statute. A lot of people don't understand that technically the LRA is not a city department. The LRA was created by state statute, and the LRA does not receive any general revenue. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't understand that. The only revenue they get some block grants, but most of their revenue comes from the sale of the properties they sell. So it's in their best interest to sell properties.
I have an email here. Let me read it to you. The problem with this idea is the final construction cost after rebuilding is still too high for getting a loan to buy the building. If the city spends $30,000 on a building that needs an additional $200,000 in repairs, which is easy to do in a 1990s building, and there are no comps, the building will just sit there and eventually that $30,000 will rot away again.
Well, I would argue that by not doing anything for the property, I mean, people can't do that first step of stabilizing the property. And I think Alvin can tell you, we're talking about people that want to move back into their neighborhoods or currently live there. These are not necessarily destitute people. These are people who want to move into these neighborhoods, can get loans for them, but only when they reach a certain condition.
Mm-hmm. And I also think the other thing that it will do, it will improve the appearance of the neighborhoods when they're stabilized. I mean, as you drive around St. Louis and you see the vacant buildings and many of them are falling down, many of them have the brick missing, those kinds of things, it really hurts the neighborhood appearance. And if there's another home for sale in the neighborhood and people, we all drive through the neighborhood to decide if this is where we want to live, when we see that condition of the buildings and you see four, five, six in one block, and it discourages you from even buying a privately owned home.
And it drives down the price.
And it drives down the price of your home. And in many neighborhoods, in all neighborhoods, people really take care of their homes. You will see a beautiful, well-maintained home next to a building that's fallen down.
Let's take a call. We have Gary wants to join us from St. Louis, and we'll take his question now. Gary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I just would like some clarification from the post summary of the Proposition NS. It says that stabilized buildings would be offered to sale to the highest bidder with enough money and capacity to turn them into a quality housing unit. That sounds a bit nebulous to me. Is that going to be a set standard for what capacity means and how much money is backing the buyer, or is that going to be made on an individual basis? I ask that because I had a situation where I was trying to buy a small piece of land in my neighborhood that was landlocked with no utilities. It took forever and a lot of battling to get permission to buy the land. And when that was finally given, the price was set at an astronomical price that made it unaffordable to me. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Please.
So I would say there's kind of two different questions there. So as far as determining what's the quality renovations and those kinds of things, that will become part of this process as far as making those determinations. And the city has to do that now with the sale of these LRA properties. They can't sell them to people who are just going to let them go, you know, continue to further deteriorate. The issue that he has with having to pay a lot for the land. I mean, the LRA process right now is not particularly efficient. And there was a report recently issued about things that need to be done to help the LRA work more efficiently. And I can give you statistics about how poorly funded that the LRA is and what kinds of things it needs to be able to work better.
Just to be clear on this, Alvin, if I buy one of these houses in auction and I don't do anything with it, I just let it sit there for whatever reason, I can't come up with the money to do, what happens? Am I penalized? Is there a process that would force me to do something?
Yes. I mean, right now, when it goes to the Board of Aldermen, they can include that in the ordinance. But one of the things that the reason why they're asking for you to have the capacity to rehab the building is because that will be one of the ways to prevent that from occurring, because it would do no good for them to stabilize the building, you buy the building, and then just let it sit there for the next 5, 6 years or 10 years, because it will start to deteriorate again. But if you can show that you have the capacity to rehab the building, then certainly it will be done.
But if you don't, can they take the building back from you, Stacey?
Yes. And actually, I want to clarify that the LRA currently has those restrictions,
right?
That if you have to do it in a time frame. You can ask for extensions on that time frame,
right,
if you're making progress towards your rehab, but the LRA will take that property back if you do not finish the process.
Right.
Only about a minute left. What can you tell people who are not dealing with this problem, who don't live in neighborhoods that have houses that of the kind that we're talking about? How do you convince them to vote for this?
Well, let me tell you, I live in Holly Hills. We do not have vacant properties pretty much anywhere in my neighborhood. But I am paying millions, literally millions of dollars. We all are, in costs for this, for vacant buildings. Costs for not just the property tax, but the cost of increased police and fire calls. The fire department, Chief Jenkerson, will tell you how dangerous these buildings are. So there are a lot of hidden costs that we're paying that are much, much higher than what Proposition NS would do.
All right. Final thought, Alvin, in a few seconds?
I would just say to tell people, I would tell people that certainly we all have a lot of pride in St. Louis, and this is a beginning to help to improve our neighborhoods and bring revitalization to our neighborhoods. And where I live, as opposed to Stacey, we have a lot of vacant buildings. And this is not a situation that will solve the vacancy problem, but you have to start somewhere.
Proposition,
and this is a good start.
Proposition NS on the ballot on April 4th. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Proposition NS.
Right. Stacey Ross, thank you so much for being with us. And Alvin Willis, thank you. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.